Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, and I am excited to be here today. I'm excited that y'all are here with me. I had an opportunity to talk with Mr. Carl Green with C. Green Group, LLC, and he is making impactful strides in leadership and development. And we just had the opportunity to dive into his humble beginnings and to understand his journey that actually shaped him. From his first taste of leadership to his current role, and we discover what lit his passion for development. So don't miss this enlightening conversation with our guest, Mr. Carl Green. Why not you? Let's go.
But it's just an honor to be here and to be present to kind of talk about my journey with you, you know, and what it's been like and whole big, because it's been quite a journey.
It has, huh?
Yes.
Man. So, man, can you just share a little bit about just the your upbringing and how you got on this path of just like leadership and development?
Ooh, you want to spend the whole, how much time you got? This, man, is a loaded question, really, now that I think about it. Because I had the opportunity to speak recently on the Undefeated Women to end that conference the first day. So there was a brother that opened it up and I was chosen to close that first session. And I talked about my mother because I was brought up in a poor environment, you know, in the background of the slide where her picture was, I had a picture of the project area that I grew up in, the housing project area that is, which was Pruitt-Igoe in St. Louis, Missouri. And if anybody looks Pruitt-Igoe up, they will see that was a place where the police wouldn't even go. Wow. The police would not go to the area. So that is the area that I was raised in Pruitt-Igoe. It's been something. So all I can say is things started out well because I had my mother there and my sisters and brothers who were there to help raise me. I have to also admit that when I was just a little child, okay, all I thought about was playing and doing the things that kids do.
Right.
But as I began to grow older, I began to see where the gaps were in things. And one of those gaps was I had no father. So I didn't understand, you know, why wasn't a father there? And that led to some things that took place in my youth, my young life, that were less than desirable. But my mom was always there. And my mother was a strong force in our life. All my mother had to do, these kids today, Derek, I don't know what the deal is, but all my mom had to do was give us that look.
Right.
We got in line. You know, so started out grade school, went to school that was in the project area. My life was protected because as a child, I had asthma. And so my mother did all she could to protect me from the things that could create me being sick. And my brothers and sisters were trained the same way. So they really spoiled me as a kid, you know. But the thing that did was, I could not play sports like the other young men, like my brothers. They could go out and run and play basketball and do all these things. I could not do those things because of how sick I was as a kid with asthma. And so thinking about that, finished grade school in the project, also graduated from grade school and then went to high school. Went to high school in the same vicinity, a high school called Vashon High School, which was considered one of the worst schools in the city,
oh my
one of the
goodness.
Toughest schools ever. and went there and graduated from Vashon High School. Now, within that time period, you know, you deal with the things like peer pressure. You have mixed emotions about education. You're not as focused. And ironically, I had all the tools necessary to keep me focused. But, you know, I'm a young man growing up, so I got involved in all the things that young men do, you know, smoking and doing all the partying and all of those things. And I lost my way doing that. I lost my focus. So as I look at my trajectory, I was refocused. And when I got refocused, man, there's so much happened prior to that, but that'll be talking forever about this subject. I got refocused, long story short, on Carl, you got to do better. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up as a non-traditional student going back to college, and I took college very seriously. Right. So I graduated with honors from college. I had a lucrative job because of graduating from the school that I graduated from, which was Washington University. And that was not supposed to happen for a young man that grew up in the projects, mm-hmm. to graduate from such a prestigious school. But that is where I graduated from. And then, you know, after that, then things began to get better and better and better and better. It depends how much further you want me to go in this. Because, <That's good. laughs> man, I can tell you some stuff.
Right.
Do you want me to talk about how I ended up where I am now?
Yeah, man, let's go there. Yeah.
So getting out of school, sure, it paid off. You know, I developed great relationships with the professors at Washington University because I was a non-traditional student. Mm-hmm. So I took things very seriously. And graduated from there, it led to lucrative jobs. Like my first job before I even got, was employed at Merck Pharmaceuticals, I worked for Mercy Health Plans. This job turned into a six-figure job for me. Wow. Graduating from Washington University even excelled my career even further because it pushed me into the pharmaceutical industry, which I loved the pharmaceutical industry. I worked for a great company, Merck Pharmaceuticals, paid me very well. Great benefits. I learned a lot of things. But then when I got to a certain age, Derek, mm-hmm. I embarked on a journey to discover what is my life's purpose? What am I supposed to do? Because now I'm in my 60s, right? And so the question becomes, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, if I were to pass away, what would my legacy be? Mm. And God guided me to my inherent gift, which is speaking. And there are some developments and things that happened that solidified the fact the Creator wants me to do this. This is right. What my purpose is. So.
Ooh-wee. And I know, man, just with the, you know, just being associated with John Maxwell in general, mm-hmm. I mean, there's multiple avenues that we can actually go in. I mean, if you think yes. about like from the coaching, the speaking, the building business, and right. then on top of that, you just have so many different components associated with the business aspect. But mm-hmm. so much of that stuff just kind of coincides with one another. There was right. a quote, man. I want to read it to you real quick because I think it's pretty dynamic, man. It says, "Success is no accident. It is hard work, perseverance, learning, mm-hmm. studying, sacrifice, and most of all, love of what you are doing or learning to do." That was by Pele, the soccer player back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so when you talked about that, it made me think about just this quote because of what you've actually gone through and now your path now. Just in leadership and development.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah, that quote is actually accurate. I had no clue what I was supposed to do. And when it was revealed to me through a series of events mm-hmm. that took place, I knew it. You know, I knew. I said, this is God's direction And this is what I am supposed to do. I have a gift of gab. I always have since elementary school. The teachers would always tell my mom, Carl's a great student, but he talks too much in class. So I was talking as a kid, man. I love to run my mouth. So that is the gift God gave me. And so that also was, it was revealed to me, this is your purpose. This is, everybody has a purpose in being here on this earth. That's and true. It is our responsibility and obligation to find out what that purpose is. Some people know at a young age. I did not find out what my real purpose was until I became an older man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. And now you are in leadership. I mean, you speak in, coach, and impact in lives. What were you doing prior that actually made you get into speaking and to, you know, and to join John Maxwell's group?
Well, that is an interesting question as well, because when I went back to Washington University, I remember a class called Intro to Public Speaking.
Uh-huh.
And the instructor was Patton Childs. I'll never forget her. And she was an excellent public speaker. And so I went through her class. And I always got A's on everything.
Did you really?
You know, we would, I mean, Derek, literally, when times came for students to speak, students would literally get sick at the stomach because they were so nervous. I didn't have that problem. I didn't have that problem. I mean, there was some nerves there, but I didn't have that problem. Yeah. So started with Patton Childs at Washington University. Also, from a religious standpoint, I was part of what was called a theocratic ministry school, which really contributed a lot to my public speaking. Because through the theocratic ministry school, every Thursday, we went through public speaking exercises. Mm. My speeches were critiqued.
Uh-huh.
And then I was also encouraged through those. And that I have to contribute a lot of my success in speaking to the theocratic ministry school, because it is through that school that I really began speaking in front of other people, not just classmates like I did at WashU. I would speak in front of other people, hundreds of people, then it became thousands of people, and it just became a thing that I just enjoy doing.
Wow.
Is speaking the spoken word to folks,
mm-hmm.
in an effort to transform their lives and their thinking. And so that's what I contributed to. Now, when I found the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team, that was interesting because I had gotten to a point in my life where I was fed up with religion. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed in religion. And so when my purpose began to be revealed to me, and I realized it was the John Maxwell team that I was being pushed towards by the Creator.
Yeah.
I really feel that. I found out he was a minister. And I said, oh, no. I didn't know John Maxwell was a minister. I don't want to be affiliated with a minister at all. And so I'm fighting this, right?
Yeah.
But more and more things began to happen that said, this is where you belong. And so now that I joined that team in 2018, my first International Maxwell Conference was March of 2019, where I certified. Man, it's been uphill since.
Wow.
I mean, the resources that I get through the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team when I first started off were like phenomenal. Then I went into mentorship. It became even better because I've got these great mentors giving me advice weekly on the phone. So in 2019, I started my business. Even though I was still working corporate, I started to see Green Group LLC, which became successful the first year.
Wow.
The first year, I had a $20,000 contract the first year to do leadership training. And so I am so new at this that I had to dig into the other members of the team. You remember the story? I got Tina Grimes and said, hey, I need some help.
Yeah.
You know, and so we did the training together. So I split the money with her. But man, it's been phenomenal. You know, joint mentorship, and now I'm an executive director with the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team. And there's even more resources now. So to answer your question directly, how do I not share this information with other people? I'm not just learning this for Carl.
Right.
These things equip me to go out and be a successful, impactful speaker.
That's right.
When I'm out there. Yeah. Right.
Wow. So with the Green Group LLC, I mean, what is your dream? What is your vision for that? For that organization?
Well, my vision, hey, that's a great question. Because when I gave my company a name, I said, you know, what do I call the company? I even consulted with other people. And so I came up with the Sea Green Group LLC. So what is my vision for that company? My vision for the Sea Green Group LLC is to literally have not just me in the company,
yeah,
but to be able to reach out to other team members to pull them in. Because I'll give you an example. What if I get a contract to serve 1,000 people and to provide training for 1,000 people? Mm-hmm. Is Carl going to be able to do that training on his own? Absolutely not. Carl may be able to speak at an event to those individuals, but what if the company says, we want you to provide a strategy for training the managers or the people who work for the company? With the name that my company has, the Sea Green Group LLC, is not just about me. It is much bigger than me. And so what I can do with the resources at my disposal is go and say, hey, Derek, I need you to come and help me with this company.
Yeah.
Contract with me to help with leadership training. I can also pull about 10 other Maxwell Leadership Certified Team members and say, hey, I need you to join me in this initiative and contract with me to provide leadership training. So that is the vision for the Sea Green Group LLC. Now, I am also open to further growth and whatever God wants this to be, because I really do envision myself as the owner and founder of this company, to have a staff of people who work for me and who work for the Sea Green Group LLC. That way I can show people, how does real true leadership look? Right. How does real managing of people look? How do you treat people when you value them? I want my company to be one of those companies that's talked about in the news, that look what the owner of this company did for his 200 employees.
That's right.
You know, that yeah. will teach other people, hey, look here, it's about valuing people and showing people they are important to you and your vision. So that is my vision for the group company. And that's why I called it the Sea Green Group LLC.
Wow, that's pretty phenomenal. I mean, just looking back and just kind of thinking about all the stuff that you had to go through that led up to this point. Could you even imagine that you would be here in this place?
No, I never imagined that I would be associated. It was never in my thoughts that I would be on the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team. I never envisioned that I would be affiliated with such an esteemed organization as that, yeah. and with the people that are there. John Maxwell is the leadership guru of the world. This genius has sold more leadership books than anybody. He has traveled the world and talked in all the countries to all the people. He has spoken with kings and queens and princesses and all of these people on this topic of leadership.
Yeah.
So if I am going to talk about leadership, I want to get the person who's the best at it.
Right.
And so you know yourself, Derek, when we hear John Maxwell speak at our conferences, man, it's like it's like an experience that there are no words for.
Right. It is.
You know, this John Maxwell is just, I don't even know how to explain the way he says things and the way he frames and phrases his words. I can't even explain it. I really can't. But it's so impactful.
It is.
And it can be something really simple that he said, but the impact is mountainous.
Right. And I think it's, I think one of the things that, that kind of, you know, that leads or just contributes to his success is that he's so personable for one.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and it's always, you know, the way he communicates and his, it appears like his style is, like you're the only one in the room, right? And so it's almost like a simple conversation between two people, even though you got thousands of people in there, right? It seems like it's just you and him.
Yeah, you know, that's so true. It's like he's directly sitting there talking to you. And there actually is more going on when John Maxwell speaks.
Mm-hmm.
There's evidence there. The creator's working with John Maxwell. Right. There really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how else do you have a team of almost 60,000 people across the world? You know, and when I think about this team, I feel like, what is the best team? What is the best leadership team in the world? Is there any other? I really can't think of any other. Now, I'm sure there are really good leadership teams, but this one and what we gain and benefit and are blessed with through this team is like nothing I've ever seen before. And when he speaks, I remember the first conference I went to, you know, I had mentioned to you, I was disappointed in religion.
Right.
So I'll never forget. My very first conference where I met another one of our brothers there. And the brother called me up the morning that there was going to be morning worship at the conference. And he says, are you going to morning worship? Oh, I said, oh, no, I'm not going to that. You know, that's not what I came for, was morning worship. And so later that day, we talked. And he said, you know, I have to ask you a question. Someone of your caliber and with how you feel and think about things, I was surprised that you chose not to attend morning worship. And so we got into a discussion about how, you know, why I didn't go.
Uh-huh.
The following conference, I went to morning worship. Derek, I walked out of there in tears. It was that touching, man. I said, okay, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
So the following conference, I did attend morning worship and heard John Maxwell speak. Man, just touched my heart, you know. And so now I've been going to morning worship at every time.
Well, that is so true, because when you do see people walking out of there, it's like straight convicted. Like they're convicted, man. Even if...
Powerful.
Because one, there is people of different faiths that actually come and attend. And, you know, one of the things he, you know, says off the bat is, this is my faith. This is what I believe. I'm not pushing it on you or anything like that. But still, people are convicted just by the words, because I think one of the most powerful things that he said, it wasn't this last conference. It was the one back in March.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the reference of, people just, they're just walking in their own lane, their path, but they miss something. They're missing something. And the fact that even though they have a father and they're walking, let's say to the right, God is over here to the left.
Right.
You still miss him, because you are created in his image. And you know this, and you know that there's something in your life that was greater. You were created for a reason. You were created by this God who you connected with, even though you don't recognize it right now.
Right, right.
You miss it. You miss him.
Oh, you do. That's very true. And it's such an emotional, you know, it's not like people are jumping up and down and running all around the place. If there's really something that takes place during that particular event that they are the leadership training, there's something special and magical that goes on in that room, man. Yeah. And it's and I feel that way since I have started going to that particular aspect. You know, of course, we attend the rest of the conference and it's not a morning worship, but that particular moment with Master Maxwell is, and when I say master, I'm saying he's a master at what he does and his work and his ability to reach people and speak. That's why I'm saying master in that sense.
Yeah. And it's still unbelievable to me that there are so many people who aren't even familiar with Maxwell.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but yet, but this is the interesting part of that. They're not, because I ask people all the time, are you familiar with John Maxwell? And a lot of them say, no, I don't think I am.
Yeah.
But yet, when you attend my trainings, you're amazed at what I'm teaching and what you are learning through those trainings. But guess who that training came from?
Right.
John Maxwell. You know,
yeah.
It's not that I'm mimicking or copying off him, but I agree with the principles and the things that he speaks about and says.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So and more people are learning who John Maxwell is every second of the day.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Every second. Right.
And I know it's all about, you know, one of the things that we often hear, we can't grow others unless we grow ourselves.
Right.
And so it's all about growing yourself in order to grow others. Yeah. How do you apply this statement, you know, to your daily life and with C Green Group LLC?
Absolutely. That is a great question, Derek. Now, the approach I take is centered around personal growth as a means to contribute to the growth of others. And I believe that we have to develop ourselves first to positively impact the people around us. And so developing ourselves, when I talk about that, refers to the idea that personal growth and self-improvement really can be a catalyst for making a positive difference in somebody else's life. And what that implies is that when we enhance our own skills and our own mindsets and abilities, and we make changes, we're better equipped to contribute positively to the community we live in, to our workplace, our relationships, because it happens every day. All I do at work is leadership training. That's all I do. And even if it's a virtual training, it seems like the audience is captivated by what I am saying to them. Like they never heard this before, you know? And I'm like, these are leadership principles. But as for example, right now I'm working with the managers for the company that I work for, because even though I have my own company, I do work for the city of St. Louis in a leadership capacity as well. And man, when I'm talking to people, it's like I'm speaking a foreign language almost.
Wow.
Where did that come from? And so what the concept of personally growing yourself first and then others, that concept emphasizes the interconnectedness of individual development and the ability to bring about positive change in a broader context of somebody's surroundings. And it suggests that as I grow and improve personally, that I become more effective in positively influencing and benefiting the people and the environments that I interact with. And so That is what that means to me when you talk about growing yourself first and then grow others. It doesn't work when you just try to tell other people what to do and you're not living up to it. You don't have the skills that you're telling me to have.
Right.
You're telling me to be a manager who values others, but you yell and scream at everybody else. So that's like I tell my audiences all the time. When I am talking to you, guess what? My thumb is pointing back at me.
Right.
So I'm talking to myself at the same time.
Yeah, the last thing you want to be conveyed as or seen as is somebody who's basically being a hypocrite.
That's what it boils down to in many cases.
Yep, and somebody with no integrity, because in order to actually teach, and you have to be living it. I mean, because people, they're able to see and recognize.
Yes.
They're a lot smarter than we think, you know.
Yes, they are.
You just can't try to pull a fast one on anybody, because, and that's, man, if you want to be a person of integrity, you can't be living like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very true. People and people who speak from a hypocritical standpoint do not have an impact on others. You know, it's where people can see that I'm not just talking to you. I live this way myself.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you a little story. I got on the elevator with a group of employees last week, two ladies. And one of the ladies, I said, how are you guys doing? And one said, well, and the other one grunted and said, yeah, it was a long day. And I said, well, you know, I said, but you off work now and you made it through. You know what she said? She said, yeah, I forgot who I was talking to. You know, missed the positive.
Yeah.
So she says, yeah, but so I had a great day.
That's right.
I said, there you go. So, yeah, man, people can see it. And that's what I love about the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team. We're not perfect individuals,
yeah.
You know, and we expect to make mistakes. But Derek, like yourself and all the our other members, when we look around, we see people who are really trying to be good, effective leaders in this world.
Yeah,
and that's encouraging, man. That's encouraging. You know, with the news that we the terrible negative news we hear every day, this greatness is not being talked about.
Right. It's not.
It's out there.
It is.
You know, it's out there. Yeah, we're here.
So when this lady recognized you, like Mr. Positive in the building, you know.
Right. Yeah.
do you have like positive affirmations that you say like on a daily basis or some kind of routine,
man,
that you follow?
Yes, absolutely. The first thing I do when I get out of my bed, when I open my eyes in the morning, the first thing I do, and this is every morning, is I thank God that I have lived to make a difference in somebody else's life today. I'm grateful, man. I express gratitude on a major level because, you know, it seems like, Derek, when I realized my purpose in life and I began to go along with the strategy that the creator put in place.
Yeah.
Because I would have never found this on my own. I would have never found it. And so the more I do that, the more blessings come my way. And I find myself saying, you know, God, what do I do to give back? What can I do to give back more of the blessings that you've given me? Because I can't just accept all of this and not share it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, man, I hate to say this, but am I bragging? But even when it comes to money, I have more money in my life now than I've ever had. Than I've ever had. And I sit back and say, how? How did this happen? You know, it's like, I've got to give back somehow. So that is, I'm in a search for that right now. How do I give back financially what I have gotten in my life? Where do I go and where do I start? I'm waiting on that answer and the direction still. But yeah, that's the first thing I do. I express gratitude for another day of life. There's also another affirmation that I use that I say, every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better. And I say that about 15 times. 15 times. And I don't just sit there and go, every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better.
Yeah.
Every day and in every way. I say it with emphasis, man.
Yeah.
And I mean it, and it touches me. And that's how my day starts. It feels weird almost when people see you, how you doing? Man, I'm fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? So those, it's like, this, what kind of drugs is this dude on? But that's how I feel, man. I'm just filled with gratitude for that. And those are the affirmations that I use. You know, I thank God every day I wake up and I say my other affirmation, and every day and in every way, I am getting better and better, you know, and I really believe that in my heart, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And, you know, because I know there's going to be those days where we might be challenged with something or things don't go our way, and our mindset might shift a little bit. And, you know, we just have to navigate those challenges, and those affirmations absolutely helps us.
Absolutely.
And it reminds us, right? So when you think about, like, just when things don't go your way or as planned and you're confronted with something, how do you handle that?
That's a great question too, because you're going to have challenges in your life. They are going to be there. But my approach involves a combination of strategic problem solving and effective communication procedures. And I begin, what I do is I assess the situation first to understand the nuances and the potential solutions. And then after that, I come up with a well-thought-out plan considering both short-term and long-term implications. So I think about, how is this going to affect me now?
Yeah.
How is this going to affect me later? Another thing I do, Derek, is I remain adaptable and open to feedback. You know, one of our mentors, Chris Robinson, on the mentorship call, talked about, was it Chris or was it Mark? It was Mark Cole, the president of the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team, talked about feedback and the value of feedback. So I remain adaptable. I remain open to feedback, and I'm willing to work with others to leverage diverse perspectives and how other people think. And this helps me to address the challenge right on, the immediate challenge, but it also sets the foundation for me to continue my growth and improvement and learning from experience. Oh. So it's very strategic for me, how I deal with challenges, versus if there's a challenge, I get upset or mad and fly off the handle, or I'm yelling at people, or I'm mad at people. No, I take a more strategic approach to challenges, boiling down to how do I learn from this? You know, so that's how I address challenges. Ooh, and that keeps, you know, that keeps me from that stress level from hitting the top level.
Because when you said a couple things, problem solving and then being adaptable.
Yes.
I think those two are huge, because no matter what we're doing or going through on a daily, we all have to be some kind of problem solver, problem solvers.
Right. Right.
Whether it's, you know, just handling something, you know, with our finances or, you know, relationships, you know, when things don't go as planned. Do we need to we need to be able to identify and just kind of come up with some kind of resolution, so we're not living in this this place of bitterness or anger or frustration?
Yeah, you know, challenges are good for us. Mm-hmm. And as I stated, the whole thing about challenges is that I want to continuously improve in what I'm doing and working on in my life. And I want to learn from the experience as to how I really handled that challenge. And then to keep me from beating myself up, this approach keeps me from saying, oh, Carl, you did something really stupid when that challenge came up, or you said something inappropriate, or you said something to hurt someone's feelings. That strategy keeps me from doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the mindset. How do we view challenges? You know, sometimes we take them too personal. And that's not the purpose of the challenge. Don't take it personally. Think about ways you can learn and grow from that challenge. And that's why I take that strategic approach that I do.
Got it. That's outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking at it as a positive.
Yes, absolutely. You have to.
And so I know that you, you know, you talked about it earlier as far as having that gift of speaking. That's one of the things that God is giving you to do and share with the world. If you don't, I mean, just like any type of athlete, artist, actor, actress, if you have something, you have to work on that craft to actually hone it in, to fine tune it, to always develop it. What are some of the ways that you actually fine tune your gift and just crafting it?
Right. There, it takes work. A lot of people may hear me speak and they think, oh, this is easy for him. It is not. It is easy to speak, but to speak effectively and to speak in a way that, see, I consider myself a transformational public speaker. That's the gift that I believe God has bestowed upon me. It's a unique talent that I am really grateful to share. And so when I say transformational, I have to throw that word in there, Derek, because when I speak to a group or to a person, I'm not just speaking to you just to be speaking and just to be running my mouth. I want to see and want to help you make changes. And so that's where the transformational part comes in. And it is really my obligation to do that. That is my gift. And so it takes practice. Like we've learned through the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team, through, you know, we have our mentor, Roddy Galbraith, who helps us understand the importance of practice.
Yeah.
We get nervous, and it has happened with me before. I am the most nervous when I'm less prepared. When I'm less prepared. So what I do now is when I have an engagement or somewhere I'm supposed to speak or a training I'm supposed to do, at least 2 or 3 days in advance, I want to prepare and work and study and go over that information myself so that I am familiar with it and know it. If I don't prepare, man, that's when the nerves kick in. You're going to be nervous anyway. A little nerve is good for you. But I'm talking about nervous to the point that, oh God, I'm going to mess this up. You know, it really takes practice and it takes being associated with mentors.
And thank you for joining me in this episode of Why Not You with Mr. Carl Green as our guest. Listen, y'all, this was just part one. There were so many takeaways in this episode. Really think about what your gift is and how you can utilize it. But also, Carl shared one of his setbacks and how he was able to manage that setback and turn it into a learning experience. So remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. Get ready for part two coming up next week. See y'all. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.